Welcome to Wednesday Night at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us.
As you know, Wednesday night's a Bible study. We're going through the book of Ephesians. We find ourselves tonight going to address Ephesians chapter 3. But before we do that, I want to review chapter 2, okay? In case you weren't here or in case you forgot, which you probably did, because it's really a continuation of thought. Chapter 2 was basically broken down into three different areas. The first few verses of chapter 2 was about how bad the Gentiles were, how bad people without God are. You know, we kind of live in a day and time where we think, well, people without God, they're pretty bad. But you know what? They're worse than we think. Because they're without God, they don't know God, they're disobedient, they're obeying the devil, they're following their own desires, they're doomed. I mean, that's how Paul pictured it. Without God, that's the life that's lived. That's not a pretty picture. And we tend to downplay that and say, well, there's still good people. No, without God, life, is, it says, is hopeless. And so he begins with that. But then he follows up in verses 4 to 10 in chapter 2 and talks about how great God's love is for us, how great his grace is, how great his kindness is, how great his mercy is, and that he displayed all of that and he seated us with Christ. Let us come into God's presence. He demonstrated his grace and mercy and kindness through everything that he did, and he provides salvation for us because we're saved by grace. Not because of ourselves, but because of what he has done, and that he's got great plans for us, because it says there, we're his masterpiece created for the things he intended us to do. And then going on chapter 2, he then talks about, and we talked about this last week, the bringing of two together as one. He says the Gentiles were rejected. They were outsiders. By the way, Gentiles, that's us. Okay? We were heathen, excluded. We weren't a part of what God was doing. But we have been reconciled with Christ. He united the Jews and the Gentiles together as one. He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us, and he ended the system of the law. The law is no longer functional. Case in point, you no longer have to offer a blood sacrifice. Because Christ was that sacrifice once for all time. All that other is done away with. He did away with all the dietary restrictions. He did away with all the priesthood issues. He did away with all of that. Because when he came, he brought two together as one. By Christ's death on the cross, and we all come to God, it says, a great picture, it says, we all come to him through the same Holy Spirit. And we are received now as members of God's families. So he no longer sees the distinction. Now there were a couple questions left over from last week that I need to answer. And again, if you got a question to ask, you can text it, it's up there. But here's the question. The first one is, what about the Jews who do not believe that Jesus has come yet? And some people, you know, think, well, just because they're a Jewish person that they're automatic. People, Jewish people today who do not accept Jesus Christ are not saved. Jews and Gentiles are one. God works the same today for everyone alive on this planet. There is no distinction. That's just what we studied last week. So the Jewish people are not separate. Well, you know, God's saving them for... No, 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 no. They live the same just as we do on this planet right now, and they're accountable to God for what they do. Well, I thought God was going to save some of them. That is during the tribulation, and we're not there yet. Okay? Second question. Tough question. Why does God let those who live their lives serving him, following him, die at the hands of those who serve the devil as the world watches? Well, because we're still in a conflict. We're still in a battle. There is this conflict between good and evil that is not only going on in this planet of what we see, but it is also going on in the unseen realm as well. Christ has won. The outcome has been determined, but there's still skirmishes going on. And so you and I have to understand that if someone gives up their life for following Christ, they live their life in a worthy manner. But we're not in heaven yet. And sin is still operating in this world. And there is still good and evil. And so there are people serving God who do what's well, who give their lives for God. They're martyrs. That's going to happen. But in reality, all of us should be giving our lives for Christ. Okay? Knowing all of that, we get into chapter 3. A mysterious plan. A mysterious plan. One of the reasons I reviewed, because of how Paul begins this chapter. When I think of all of this, all of what? All of what we just talked about in chapter 2, right? When I think of all of this, when I think about being lost without God, when I think about God's grace and kindness and mercy to us, when I think about him declaring us all one now, when I think of all of this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. And as you read what I've written, you'll understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to the previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. Now, Paul's in prison. He's in a Roman prison writing this. Why is he there? He is there for one reason. Well, yeah, one, maybe two. Now, he's there for one reason, but he's there because of one reason. He's there because Christ said, look, you're going to go to Rome and you're going to take the gospel there. That was God's intent for him. How did he get to Rome? One reason. In Acts chapter 22, Paul is standing before a crowd. They've kind of arrested him. He's linked up and chained to a guard. He's asked for permission to speak to the crowd. He begins to do that. He talks about his story. He tells about how God spoke to him through a blinding light. He gave them the details of what had happened. And then in chapter 22, he gets to verse 21. It's there in your notes. But the Lord said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. The crowd listened until Paul said that word. Then they all began to shout, away with such a fellow. He isn't fit to live. They yelled, threw their coats, tossed handfuls of dust in the air. Why would you toss dust in the air? It's just coming down on your head. I don't get that, but that's how they express their anger and their grief and everything else. Throw your coat down, get it all dirty and dusty up, and then take the dust and throw it all. You know, I don't know. But why is he there? He's there simply because he said, I'm taking the message to the Gentiles. Paul ends up in a Roman prison for that cause. Not just preaching the gospel, but saying to the Gentiles. That's how hard this was. That's how hard it still is. There still is this disconnect that goes on. And so he ends up having to invoke his Roman citizenship because he's about to be beat because this crowd's so upset and ticked off. He's about to get lashes when he says, by the way, should you be doing this to a Roman citizen? And guard goes, you're what? Because you don't do that to a Roman citizen. And Paul goes on. And so all because of the gospel, all because of what God wanted to do, he wanted to make two groups of people into one. And today, in this day and time in which we live, two groups of people are one. Now, he talks about this mysterious plan. Notice he says, you know, I've got this mysterious plan that I have. It wasn't revealed before, but it's revealed now, and I'm going to tell you. And he says it's a plan that, you know, it's not a mystery because God's trying to keep it a secret. If you were to look at a blueprint, even today, of what God plans to do in the future, you wouldn't comprehend it. It's mysterious. You know, people look at us and can't understand. How can you live a life serving God? How can you do that? That doesn't make sense to me. We see, when you accept Christ, you begin to see things just differently. So it's mysterious because when people looked at it, they didn't understand it. And so he says, I've got this plan. God's gave me more clarity on it. I'm a prisoner here for you, Gentiles, because I'm standing up for you. God's bringing the gospel to you. It's a great plan. Then he talks about being partners together. Partners together. And notice how he says, verse 8, and this is God's plan. Now that's pretty clear. Here's the plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body. Both enjoy the promise of blessing because they belong to Christ Jesus. God used the Jewish nation so that a Messiah could come through them so that everyone could be saved. And today we're all equal. Now, God's plan is for all who believe the good news to receive everything he's provided. Now, we're going to go on with this both this week and next. I don't think you and I, again, this mysterious plan, I don't think we get it of how much God's provided for us. It's incredible. And Paul gets a little bit into it. First of all, he says you're going to share equally. In other words, one group doesn't get more than another. Everyone gets an equal share. You'll share equally in the riches that are there for God's children. Everyone gets the same. Now, there's people out there who want to say, oh, no, we're different, and everybody gets somebody. No. Everybody shares equally. Everybody has the same ability to have what God offers to them. Secondly, it's the same body. We are one. We belong together. He says that there in verse 6. Both are part of the same body. We are not distinct. We are not separate. We are the same body. We belong together. And thirdly, we're satisfied with the promise. Satisfied with the promise. We share the blessings because we belong to Christ. We're one. Now, I'm not going to get into that a lot because I'm going to deal with it in just another moment, but I want to start it, open up this door here. Some people think that Christianity is a personal issue. And in one sense, it is. But if you're going to serve God, you don't get to do it by yourself. Okay? It's a personal issue in my relationship between me and Jesus Christ. That's a personal issue. But once I accept Christ, I no longer am a lone ranger. God didn't create me to be that way. Well, I don't need anybody. Funny, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. Now, it's the way Satan will use to defeat you. He'll isolate you, separate you, tell you you can do this on your own, tell you you'll think it's okay. And, you know, I was listening to the radio a while back, and I got to be careful how I say this. Person on there was talking, and they were talking about how, you know, married love God and everything, and how you know, it's good. And he said, and we do pretty good in our life. You know, we've got the giving down, and we're living the life and got everything together. He said, what I'm saying, the only thing we struggle with is going to church. He said, but if we don't get up on Sunday, we'll turn on the television. We'll watch a podcast. That is no substitute. Well, that didn't go over real well. You see, you and I need each other. And God made it to be that way. But unfortunately, that is the way our culture is headed. It's individual. I'll do what I need to do. That is not healthy. That is not biblical. I've gotten pretty much into it. I'll get into it more in a moment, okay? Then Paul's privilege. Paul's privilege. Verse 7 and 8. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading the good news. though I am the least deserving of all people. Why? Because Paul had a history. And his history was he was a murderer. I'm the least deserving of all God's people. But he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. Now, you might want to look at that endless treasures. We'll get into that next week. Endless treasure. Paul counts it a privilege. Now, think about it. He says all that. Where's he writing from? Jail. Yeah, what an honor. But there's endless treasures. They never run out. There's no end to what God has for us. And about the time you think you see everything that God has for you, you realize there's so much more. And Paul says, look, what a great privilege I have. God's let me doing this. I don't deserve it. Look at my history. Look at my past. Look what I've done. And yet, it's one of the great privileges of life. He gave me the gracious privilege of telling the Gentiles. Now, I'm in jail because I'm telling the Gentiles. That's a privilege. Now, if you and I were in jail for doing this, we'd be whining and complaining. We'd be getting a petition together to sign the unfairness of it. We'd set up a picket line somewhere and, you know, Paul says, no, I'm privileged to be able to do what God wants me to do, even though I'm in jail today. Then it's the purpose of God's plan. The purpose of God's plan. I was chosen to explain to everyone, notice everyone, not just a certain group, everyone, this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. You see, all throughout the Old Testament, there are pictures and places where we are giving insight into the Messiah's coming, correct? It was a mystery to all of them in the Old Testament, wasn't it? It's such a mystery that even when Christ was born, they still missed it. They didn't understand it. They couldn't see it. That's why it's called the mystery. It was there. They just didn't see it. God's purpose in all of this, here it is to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Now, think about this for a moment. The church is supposed to live in a manner that honors God and is a testimony to the unseen world. Wow. It's not about me. It's about us. You see, here's the deal. The unseen world is in awe of the church. Look at those people. Look what Christ did for them. Look what he's doing through them. Look at them. Would you look at that? Look how they're doing that. Look at what's going on. Look how they love one another. Let's just pretend. Look how good they are. Look at what's going on. Look at that. Would you look at that? And the unseen world is just in awe of the church. Unfortunately, the seen world is not. But here he says, look, God's purpose for this plan was to display by the church his wisdom to all the unseen world. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. Stop there for a moment. You see, we want to know everything about the end times. They wanted to know everything about this Messiah. They didn't understand it and didn't see it. And then when it happened, they still didn't quite get it. Do you understand that same way works now? We want to know everything about this and we get there and we don't get it. We think we would, but you try to explain all that to people and it doesn't make sense. I don't understand how God would do this and under that. Of course you don't understand it. You're not God. It's a mystery. It's mysterious. They wondered, the prophets, the Old Testament, what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterwards. What does he mean by that? When's that going to happen? They were asking the same questions we asked today, weren't they? They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. Wow. And now, this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. That's Paul. And that's what he's taught. This is where I'm at. This is what I'm doing. This is what the ministers do. Now notice this last sentence. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching to see what happens next. That just, man, how do you, really? Even the angels are watching what these things happen. What's going to happen next? What do you think he'll do next? What do you think he's got in mind over here? How do you think they're going to respond? What are they going to do? Boy, this is great. This is better than any football game. Yeah. Especially if your team's playing the Broncos, you know. I know. You know, wow, isn't this great? Look how exciting this is. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I wonder what's going to happen. And yet, when it comes to the church, we don't get excited. We don't treasure it. We don't value it. We don't understand the need for it. And yet God says, look, I'm using the church to be a witness to the unseen world. And the unseen world is watching with anticipation to see what's going to happen. What a challenge for us, isn't it? That's incredible when you think about it, of how important the church is in declaring God's goodness, God's love, God's mercy, God's kindness. That's what we do. Look at how they love one another. Wow, that's incredible. I've thought about this. You can spend a lot of time, my mind goes all kinds of different places. It's just incredible. See, the enemy is going to do everything he can to devalue the church. Are all churches perfect? No. Are all churches really the church? No. Because they don't put Jesus Christ as the center of their focus. But the ones that do are the witness to the world and to the unseen world about God's greatness, God's goodness, God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace. And that's us. What a great responsibility. But like Paul, what a great privilege. What a great honor. Wow. That's who we are. That's what the church is about. Finally, we can come into God's presence. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please, don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. I'm glad to do it. Don't worry about it. God's in control. You know, I've thought about it, because I keep reading it, we can come boldly into God's presence. How many places in the New Testament does that talk about that? I mean, the veil was rent in the tabernacle when Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you and I can have access into God. And every time it talks about being in God's presence, it says come in with confidence, come in with boldness, come in with assurance. Don't cower in. Don't be, oh no, can I go and talk to God? Oh, what's going to happen? Oh, he might strike me dead. You know, it's like the person, well, I can't come to church. If I do, the building will fall over and, you know, crumble in on me. Oh, no. Come boldly into God's presence. You're accepted. Jesus Christ died to make us acceptable to God. He loves us, and he wants his grace and mercy and kindness to be displayed to the whole world. And because of what he's done for me, I get to walk in to his presence and say, Abba, Father. Thank you. Oh, but, you know, like Paul, oh, God, you know who I am. You know all the stuff I've done. You know what I'm thinking. You know how bad I... God says, look, I still love you. And I forgive you. And that's good enough. And what a great God we serve, who wants to demonstrate through us the riches that he has for the world that we see and the world we don't see to everyone.
Thank you for joining us for tonight's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We also gather on Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next time for Wednesday night at Faith Assembly. Faith Assembly's Wednesday night is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.